Welcome back to Exquisitely Aligned. I'm Gina Meyer Vincent, your host and your personal soul shifter. I'm here to help you define and design the destiny you desire and deserve, the one where essentially you become exactly what the world is missing. And today my guest has done exactly that. I'm delighted to introduce you to Vicki Downey. She is the number one best-selling author with a rich background in education, entrepreneurship, and mentorship, has dedicated her life to empowering police families. Overcoming the challenges of being a police wife, she, alongside her husband, John, helps first responder spouses achieve financial independence and early retirement through online business ventures. So there are so many words in here that are juicy, right? Early retirements, on and on. So Vicki, I am so happy to share this time and the mic with you today. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, thank you, Gina. I am super excited to be with you.
And so there's many things. We had a short meeting prior to today to discuss a few things we could talk about. And I think during that time I left and I went, I think we may have to have more than one episode. There are so many things we share in common. Really, it's fun and fascinating when you get to connect with someone like yourself that you find similarities. And I love giving voices to things where we may have been in a situation that was not the most comfortable, and we were able to find ways to stretch our mindset or turn our chin a little bit so that we can see things differently. I like to say we shift our paradigm, and I know you had to do that because I've said already that you're a retired police officer's wife. And I know what that comes. First, I want to say thank you to him, to John, and thank you to you and your children for allowing him to have the career he chose and to keep my family and friends safe. So that comes from the bottom of my heart. It makes me cry as I say it because I just know the depth of what's involved and what you and your children, and maybe if you have furry family as well, have given up in order for those of us to remain safe. So I just want to start there. And if you could give a voice to what were some of those things and some of those things of the people you're currently helping who are still employed in that career?
Yeah, well, thank you. First and foremost, I think I know, speaking on behalf of first responder, police wives, military, and especially police, I just have to say, They don't get thanked enough because They are the front line in the United States daily For everyone's safety. So I so appreciate you saying thank you. We truly are, my husband and I, now that he is retired from the Los Angeles Police Department, big city, big crime, really big city.
Numbers in the wrong direction, right?
Exactly. And, we're on a mission now to help other police families, singles, couples, singles, just live, really the most spectacular life possible. It totally reminds me of what you do, becoming exquisitely aligned with their calling because, most police officers become police officers because it's a calling. And a lot of times the wives just follow along.
they don't have a choice.
but then there's plenty that there's, both husband and wife are police officers. So, talk about pretty amazing. We're on a mission really to help empower police families. Really during COVID is when I realized I need to speak out. Truly, when all the craziness was happening, I'm sure we all remember during the shutdown, especially at the beginning, there was so much increased hate on police. And yet, like you said, they're protecting us day in and day out.
Right.
And we wives have always just sat back. We've prayed for our husbands.
Of course.
Cried when it's been a horrible day. We've been scared, you know, all the things. Mm-hmm. But I finally decided now is the time to speak up. Mm-hmm. And stand up for our police families really across the United States and the globe, and kind of educate people a little bit on what goes on behind the scenes. So we are on a mission.
And so do you want to give, so I'll just, not that my husband's career is anything similar, but I know when we spoke briefly, I'll just, since not everybody was listening in on that conversation, share, you know, marrying at the time a family practice doctor who was in North Carolina allowed to deliver babies. That's not the case where he trained in Florida. That's why he left. But so it was cradle to the grave, and that meant 24/7.
Right.
Being called in, et cetera. That was back when we had he had a pager, and then he had to call the number. And yes, I am. We are that old.
Yeah, we are.
He's 6 years old. And I didn't mean you. I meant we, my husband and I.
But we are.
But, you know, it was hard for me because I didn't grow up with anybody who I knew was a doctor. I didn't know any parents that were doctors. So it was interesting and fascinating. Like, okay, I see. We have to plan our vacations nearly a year in advance so that we get the time off that he would like. That was fascinating to me. It was a little difficult, but yet I was a planner because I was a department store buyer buying product 9 months out. And then, you know, getting used to the fact that he may be called away, because back then he had call, when we were trying to do something lovely, whether it be celebrate somebody's birthday or someone in our family or whatever. You know, it could have been attending mass. I mean, it didn't matter, right? And so I'm thinking your story is probably 1,000-fold, if not 5,000-fold. So if you don't mind, you know, sharing whatever you feel comfortable of, what did that look like for you as a young mom, as a newlywed, you know, as your kids are growing up and they're active, you know, any bits and pieces you'd love to share? Because I understand for sure the praying, crying, scared, most definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, we do have so much in common. I mean, you know, a doctor has those same long hours and unexpected, we call it overtime, you know, but
I'm sure you know, I like that.
I like that. But it would always be a later rest, longer reports to write, unexpected arrest, you know, and, And like you said, many vacations, same thing in a police department, you have to plan your regarding deployment periods. And so very much military style, at least the Los Angeles Police Department is.
Yeah.
And so out of the blue, he would text me and say, hey, I need my vacation days for the next year. And we hadn't even discussed it, but sometimes surprises would just surprise them on it. I'm like, gee, thanks. And, you know, I've got little kids and I'm looking at the calendar. I don't know. and so you don't always get your days off because of seniority.
Right.
Not trying to compare the two, but a doctor. If it's his own practice, he could set his vacation time. Yes, something might come up and squash that or make you change it. But with him, when you're early police wife, early on in a department, you are low man on the totem pole. I remember Thanksgivings, New Year's Eve, Christmas.
Yeah.
And one thing a lot of officers do as time goes on is they get more seniority. And our kids started to grow up. John would work Christmas Day or Thanksgiving so that another younger officer could be home with his family.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't always work out.
No.
Yeah, there's mandatory deployment. You could have a vacation set And then something comes up and sorry, everybody, mandatory deployment and all vacations are gone, basically. Mm-hmm. And very much you feel like a divorcee. I don't know. Yeah. Do you feel that way too? Sometimes going to church?
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll just back up. So Mark was not in his own practice. He was in a large group and it was a little bit similar. It was more like whoever got their days in first were more likely to get it. So I learned very quickly, vote early, you know, request early. And then what was the part you just asked me? Because it's a little different. Oh, I know. I was going to say he's left full-time practice and now he does life insurance medicine for one of the top three insurance, where he still gets to teach. He doesn't have residents, but he's still teaching and doing the things that he loves and using. And he's double board certified now to practice both. But yeah, did I feel like a divorcee? So yes, there were some times where it was like, yeah, I know I told you, you know, Vicky, hi, John and Vicky, thank you for having me for dinner. Sorry, Mark's in the car trying to figure out if he's like dropping me here and running to the hospital. Yeah. Yeah. It was asking people to be, if they wouldn't mind us, you know, being flexible with us. And most people were forgiving and flexible, but it did feel awkward when you were thinking it was a double date and all of a sudden you're the third wheel, you know? So I can completely understand. But again, I was fortunate that he changed careers about 10 years ago. It's more than that. So it's probably 13 or 14 years ago.
Yeah. Same thing. I just remember we were diligent about going to church when the kids were little and then his assignment changed and now he couldn't go and I would go, but I felt
it was the same.
Yeah. I felt eyes on me, you know, just people thinking I was, this poor divorced mom of these two cute kids, you know, and you get picked up on, which that feels, I mean, I'm sure it's a compliment, but you know where your husband is and it's like, I'm married, leave me alone. So it's like silly things like that, but it's not silly because then I would go home and be very sad that I'm home alone again, right? But you can't wallow in it. It doesn't help the matter at all. So you try to find hobbies and things like that, but it really truly has to be your idea.
Yes.
A funny story. I think I was hanging on John too much early on in his career. I was like, when are you going to be home? When can we do this? What about this? What about that? And he finally turned to me and he said, can you just get a hobby? And believe me, I was incredibly busy. Yeah. As a wife, you get that. It infuriated me.
I was thinking, you know, what my comeback would have been if I was prepared for that would have been like, no, but I can get a boyfriend, you know?
Exactly.
Like, hold on. Yeah, I always wanted a tango dance. Let me see if I could find a man to tango dance with.
Yeah, exactly. So it's okay if we choose the hobbies, but don't tell me to find a hobby. it's interesting. Thank goodness I never had any family members say that. It was just my husband and I, you know, just desperately wanted to see him more. But it's amazing how much inner work you have to do.
Correct.
You know, first responder, all of these types of shift work or, you know, like a doctor's life, which I guess doctors are first responders big time.
And the inner work. So you mentioned the word alone. That's something I like to give a voice to all the time because you can be with a lot of people and feel alone. Yeah. You could be by yourself and not feel alone. And so, you know, I have found that there were times in my life where I was expressing a desire for more, At the time, I didn't know what that more was. For me, it was not checkboxes. I had the things I set out, desired for. Let's say when I was graduating college and I sat and I dreamt, what would I like in my next X amount of years? You know, of course, it didn't happen that quickly, but I had all the things I had hoped for, and expressing, you know, heartfelt desires that I had without being able to explain, what is this? I feel like I'm missing something. I was judged and I felt very much alone. Did that happen with you? I mean, beyond the feeling of he's not home, I'm alone with the kids, were there ever moments where with your feelings, your thoughts about what this is like, this lifestyle, let's say?
Yeah. Very much. I felt alone. And, you know, you marry, and he started to become a police officer. He was hired on 5 years into our marriage, actually. Yeah, okay. 5 years. And we had two little kids, 4 and 5 at the time. And wow. I just remember thinking, yeah, and I thought, well, this is the life, you know, marry the man of my dreams. And then he's never home. I never get to see him. And so right. I very much felt alone, very much. Thank goodness I had the kids, actually, though. They right. filled me with joy. You know, we were mm-hmm. all three of us sad if he wasn't yeah. home at right. times. Even we were trying to cover that up with fun things to do and books to mm-hmm. read and, you know, videos to watch back then, right. trying to find yeah. good ones for little kids.
Yeah. At the time. Did yeah. you, so, I think now you don't currently live in LA County. At the time, did you live in LA County? Because I'm thinking it yes. was a commute as well. So there was not only the long shift with the possibility of, I love what you said, unexpected overtime. And then a commute, is that right?
Yes. So that's another thing that a lot of people don't understand in big police departments. Is mm-hmm. that you never want to live within the city limits of that big police department.
I was going to say that. Yeah. So yeah. As I was brushing my teeth, that was coming to my mind. And I'm talking at, you know, what time is it now? 10:30. At 3.5 hours ago, I was thinking that thought of speaking to you about that. And then I thought, no, I won't bring that up. So it's funny you should bring that up, but speak to yeah. that, because I had a friend of a friend, a roommate of a guy I dated. He was a police officer in Charlotte, and he very much chose not to spend any time in the, for safety reasons. He did
exactly.
this.
Exactly.
Okay, so yeah. so I'll stop there. Speak to yeah. that, because I think that that was so enlightening to me as a 20-something-year-old, where I was like, oh my gosh, you know, yeah. if you don't mind, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's what most people don't know. And I didn't really realize it either until he started telling me, for safety reasons, Vic, I am not going to live in this, even the same county. So we're not in the same county. And so the commute time, like you said, talk about the long hours, potential overtime, and then a long commute home. It's not 20 minutes. Yeah. It's not 15 minutes. It's an hour or more, especially in the Los Angeles area. And, but the safety is the main thing. You know, him being LAPD, he would say, hey, turn on the news. I'm on scene at Channel 7's here. They're probably showing what the current situation. And so.
And we're not receiving an award. It's because we're exactly. here at a crime scene, you know, something yeah. dangerous.
Exactly. Wow. It's dangerous. And so I was also, actually, most police wives are taught from early on about safety. Do not tell people that your husband yes. is a police officer. Don't talk about it loudly in a room anywhere. And I know that's something like a lot of people think, well, why wouldn't you? I love police officers. Well, honestly, good people do. Well, good upstanding people do.
Right. Yeah. And the other thing you're missing is that can make you feel very much alone, and nobody can say the thank you that I said to you in the beginning if they don't
very
know.
True.
So you yeah, have two things happening. Yes, you're, well, in the realm of being protecting of yourself, your children, your spouse, you're being more alone because people, you're not allowed to speak about what your lifestyle is like. You can't commiserate. And there's a possibility that there's a police wife standing, or police husband, let's say, or police daughter standing right beside you. You know, so that's another way of making people feel alone. And
Very good point. Very good. Yeah. You know what? I hadn't really thought about it that way, but that's exactly the
these challenge. Are the things I see, Vicki. This is what I'm a seer. I see how the missing links of why people end up feeling, and it breaks my heart, because I believe community is to, you know, when they say it takes a village to raise a child, I do believe it does. I think it takes a village to keep a marriage together, to keep a woman from going insane, you know, being married to a man. No, I'm teasing. But, you know, that is a way of keeping the support, you know, it's like cutting it through. I understand the protection, but at the same time, somebody can't say to you, hey, thank you, Vicki, for allowing your husband to do the work he does. Please thank him. Thank your kids, because I realize there are things you're giving up to keep my family safe and eating dinner together at night while you may not be eating dinner.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. And honestly, we don't need the thank you. I mean, it is very nice. And it, probably the women do appreciate it. Not that the men don't. But it is the aloneness. I think you hit the nail on the head that I didn't have anyone to talk to. I didn't have any fellow police wives that I knew that lived near me. His partner's wives were on the other side of Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. And so I had no one to talk to about it. And I'm told to be quiet, don't tell anybody. Yeah. And of course, our close friends knew. But it is very isolating. It's such a good point. And thank God for social media now, because that's really why I chose to come out of the closet, if you will. But I had to ask John, is that okay with you? I could whether he says yes or no. I have my own mind, but we're a couple. And, you know, when we got married, we became one. I do believe that. And so I wanted to make sure he was okay with it for safety specifically. Yeah. And he said, well, enough people know now. I guess so.
Well, and I'm going to give you an example. It's a little different, but when my husband was in kidney and liver failure, first he was in kidney failure, and it was supposed to be a very simple thing. I was approved after 8 weeks of torture, physically, mentally, emotionally, of proving that I was healthy mind, body, and spirit. I was approved to give him my right kidney, and things went wrong. Then he went into liver failure. So at any rate, he was like, as a man, don't tell anybody I'm sick. But look, you're like, your liver is eating all your muscles. You are losing weight. I'm gaining weight as we're sleeping. I think I just, you know, like I was packing on the pounds he was losing. And it's very funny how when you are connected, when you are one as a couple for 10 years at that point, you know, we trade things. Okay, you're losing the weight. Hold it. I'll hold it for you here and here and here and here, all below the belt. But what was my point now? Because I'm making myself laugh thinking about it, and thankful that I'm not there anymore. But he didn't want me to tell anybody. And I was like, I am going through this as well. And our young children are going through this. And I finally said to him, listen, I need prayers just as much as you do. And the kids do too. So I am telling everybody. And I think when we're able to speak up and give a voice and allow other people to come out of the woodwork, which I think you were alluding to, now that you're able to, especially now that he is safe, right? Free of wearing the uniform and free of being in those positions every single day, minute after minute, but you're allowing strangers to come up to you and say, hey, thank you. You know, I feel the same. And I think you being that person to make that impact and empower them to give a voice as well, or at least feel part of a community.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So it feels really good to help other police wives know they're not alone. Yeah. Honestly, because that is the alone that keeps popping out at me.
Yeah.
That's what you do. You feel so alone. So it's really nice. And he still is a reserve officer. Mm-hmm. So he still goes in and yeah. still is in danger on the days he goes in and not getting paid for it. It's kind of funny. Yeah, it's kind of funny, but it's a way that he could stay connected because it was part Absolutely. Of his life for 25 years. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and yeah. I think it's probably a part of his heart too, right?
Yes.
It becomes
mm-hmm.
part of your personality, your drive, your, like you used the word earlier, calling, which I'm a big fan
yeah.
of people living their calling, fulfilling their legacy.
Yeah.
Or their destiny, however you want to look at it. But
yeah.
So I know you've written a book. Do you want to tell us a bit about your book?
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, so here it is.
Yay! Yes.
It's called Your Amazing Itty Bitty Police Wife Survival Guide. and it really, I wrote it, like I mentioned, for fellow police wives. And it's only 15 chapters. It is itty bitty. And I wrote it for that reason, to be small, concise, to the point on my top tips of surviving, but also thriving
yeah.
as a police wife, from getting hired on all mm-hmm. the way through retirement and living your dream, even while, you know, you're in the thick of it, still
yeah.
having those aspects of your dream life while you're living in the thick of it all. And then, mm-hmm. Planning for retirement. So yeah. I feel like I'm at that place where I can really mentor other police wives mm-hmm. because I've been through it all.
Yeah.
And even after retirement, he's still a police officer. Like I still cool. call myself a police wife because it changes them, I think, for the good. But it just, we're always observant. We go to restaurants, we're like scanning.
Yeah.
You just can't not
right.
where he's sits, he faces the door.
Right.
You know, that's one tip that I could give friends of police officers. If you mm-hmm. you know you're out with your buddy, let him choose his seat first. We go with friends all the time. They grab the seat that John really needs, feel at peace and have view of the door in case something goes down. And they always yeah. grab that seat. So that would be nice if you could do that. But it's just, yeah, it's an amazing life, but it never leaves you. Like I will always be a police wife.
Mm-hmm.
He usually, even in the state of California, he usually has a weapon on him mm-hmm. because he needs to protect our family. He just knows the evil that's out there. And I don't want to go dark on this, but there
yeah.
are lots of great people, mostly great people in this world. But
right.
the evil that's out there is horrible. So it's kind of like never leaves us. And even when he's not with me, yesterday I was with a bunch of girlfriends and we saw a guy come into a restaurant and I was watching him and I said, guys, hold on a second. I said, we got to watch this guy. And he looked like he was up to no good. And so anyway, but it's because John's really taught me and our kids to be mm-hmm. very, very observant of your surroundings. So
yeah,
I would give that advice to anyone. Don't be complacent. Don't be on your phones, you know,
right.
crossing the street. Doesn't that kill you, Gina, when you see someone
yes.
crossing the street and they're on their
phone? And they walk right into traffic and you're like, you know, I think I did mention to you, but I went to college in Manhattan. I studied at Fashion Institute of Technology and that was very much I knew who was behind me, how long they had been behind me, and then when to cross the street to see if they're still behind me.
Yes.
And, hiding jewelry, turning things around, how to carry your purse, where to put the wallet. All these things. Of course, I had short hair back then as well. So my earrings were always exposed. I take that back because there were plenty of times where I had earmuffs, two scarves, and my collar of my coat up. So not always, but my ears were often exposed. I always wore earrings because you know, I felt naked without having hair here. And so my necklaces would be exposed as well. But it really, now being a mother of a son who's 6'4" and living in LA at USC and having a daughter in the next couple of weeks decide where she will be going to school. And she's only 4'10". She's finished growing. So I have two extremes.
Yeah.
But when she said, oh, maybe I'll go to USC, I was like, yeah, no, you're 4'10". I already know what trouble your brother had with a bullet coming through the window where he was living. Thankfully, he wasn't home. But like all these different things. And I'm fortunate that my kids have lived a bit of a sheltered life. My son now is very eye open to LA and its surroundings. And it doesn't matter that he's 6'4". I say his size because, yes, that could be intimidating at first glance. But if somebody wants something that you have, that it doesn't matter your size, in my opinion. Yeah. But, you know, it is fascinating that you brought that up. And I'm sure you also know that it's natural instinct for humans and animals to want to see the exit. Always. That is that is just, even if the person doesn't even know why they want that seat. It's you know, I once was teaching yoga in a brand new studio and I wanted them to see out the window because it was beautiful, the view. And one of my regulars came in and she said, I cannot like close my eyes and meditate and practice yoga with the door behind me. I need to be able to see the door. We had two doors and, you know, so I was like, okay, we will not be having class distraction anymore. You know, I'm not looking to have promote anxiety while you're here for yoga class, but it was just so funny because she was just like, you know, you could see her like twitching.
Yeah, just agitated.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, you hear that with a lot of men that we go out with. The husband says, well, I need to see the door too.
Yeah,
for sure. So then they don't fight over it. They all kind of just decide, but it is funny. Yeah. But I hadn't heard of a woman. That's crazy.
Yeah. And I always sit facing where I can see everything. My husband, the whole family knows that I am, you know, and I am also the one. We were on a vacation and in Mexico at a lovely resort, had nothing to do with the resort, but I was like, that's a gunshot. Get the kids now. Let's go in that building. And my husband's like, oh, that was somebody with a noodle, you know, the pool noodles slapping the water. So there was another sound and everyone went like this. And it was three gunshots on the beach between two people who were selling like cigars and whatever. They were not, I think they shot up into the air, but it doesn't matter. And my husband was very slow moving and we had a huge argument because and the kids were like, dad's right. It's nothing. You're crazy. La, la, you're from New York. And I was like, get in the restaurant. And we ran inside and some people thought we were nuts. And then sure enough, everyone was flocking off the beach. And I said to a guy, what's going on down there? And he told us, and I said to my husband, you know, if it sounds like a duck, it walks like a duck, it looks like a duck. You had three, boom, boom, boom. It's a duck. And I said, your dad, you need to be, I don't care if it was a mistake. I'd rather those kids be, you know, quickly filing into a restaurant. I had them go behind a cement bar. I mean, this is how crazy I was because it was all glass.
No, you were smart.
You know, I said to my husband, like, I'd rather look silly and be wrong than end up. I said, I don't know if it's a parent, two parents where somebody took a child on a vacation that didn't have the legal authority. I don't know what's going on down there. I just know I hear gunshots and I think it's time for us to seek cover. So
good.
Yes, I understand that level of like awareness.
Yeah.
awareness.
And that's really good that you grew up in a city. I do think it's suburbia, right? It's yes. These outer areas that they are complacent. And complacency, you know, if we want to talk about police work, complacency right. is the death of people many in right. many cases. It's not them being lazy. We were just discussing this yesterday, my husband and I. He was reading an article where an officer was being criticized of being lazy. Mm. No, it was his complacency. He went up to a homeless man and got too close. And you cannot get close. You have to be back, I think it was 21 feet. Isn't that crazy? Because if they have a knife, they can actually attack you within seconds. It's worse than a gun because it takes a gun a while to fire and all that. Right. But they can just lunge and attack you. So, but he got too close and then he lost his life over it. It's horrible.
Oh, wow.
But it's complacency even in all, you know, regular citizens that aren't well-trained. We just, we need to be observant. It's not like you're living on the edge.
Right.
Like you were. Just be observant.
Yes.
And it can save you and your kids. So good for
and
you.
And I think
I pat you on the back.
Right. Well, thank you. I feel it.
I love it.
No, and I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to add to that and you just finished my thought and I love it. That you know, it's not that you have to be on high alert 911 mode everywhere you go, but listen, take instead of two AirPods, whatever they're called, wear one. And don't put the volume up so loud. You know, it don't have to be on your phone all the time. Don't have to be listening to music all the time. And know your surroundings. And you know what? My biggest thing is I always tell my kids, and I had this thought this morning after brushing my teeth and putting on lipstick. And I was like, why am I thinking of these things? But it was how I remember asking my kids to use their intuition when they were learning how to drive. Like, I would say, talk out loud to me, what do you think is going to happen? And they'd be like, okay, the white SUV is going to move into the middle lane. And sure enough, the person did, whether with the signal or without. And I was like, yes, I just want you to start. We have this intuition. We're often told, no, don't listen to it. It's wrong. Instead, go ask 20 people their opinion. Go listen to a podcast, read a book. You know, I'm pointing to my bookcase. That's not in the screen. Read a book. But, you know, go listen to someone else's advice. No, listen to yourself. You have this great awareness, just like an animal has whiskers. It knows, you know, this person's coming to pet me. Oh, this person's not happy with me. Or, you know, we had a cat who knew when the storms were coming, you know, she would run inside. But,
you're right. Intuition. That's huge. That's a good point. I agree.
Yeah. Well, it's part of exquisite alignment. I believe when we get down to our soul level truths and we live based on our heartfelt desires, using our innate gifts and talents, three things happen. And one of which is our intuition becomes, you know, like I want to say a glow or on fire. It really, and our vitality, our life we become much more healthier, more energetic. We are just able to excel in everything we do. So, I told you there's so much we can talk about, Vicki, that I had written notes before we even started, but it is time for us to close out. So, but if you don't mind, you said the name of the book, all of Vicki's information, how to connect with her, how to get the book on Amazon. Remind me, it's in print and Kindle, correct?
It's print and Kindle, it's only $6.99.
Yay!
Kind of amazing, kind of nice not to be super expensive book.
Right, and those of you who can't, hang on one second. Those of you who can't see the size of the book, it would fit beautifully with a bottle of wine when you're going to someone's home as a gift. It also fits beautifully, you know, with a birthday card. It is so affordable that it makes a great gift. And I will tell you also, it's not just about policemen. Those 15 tips, tricks, I forgot what your strategies that you offer are for everyone, every man, woman, and probably I'd say 16 and up year old, maybe 14 and up. And so understand that it makes a great gift, not just a great read. It's something affordable and easy to package with something else. And it doesn't have to be a bottle of wine, but I know it fits in a wine. Go ahead. Sorry to steal that from you. I just had to say, go ahead.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah. And it is on Amazon and also Audible. I just recorded the Audible, so that's up as well. So super easy to find. And actually, if you just type policewifebook.com, it takes you right to Amazon. So
perfect.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you. Well, it's time to pick a card from Opening to Possibilities, which is also tiny because I like things tiny and fast and metal so that you can travel. That's the other thing about her book. It fits in your purse. So if you're sitting at carpool line, which I had to do years ago, it's not a right. It's that easy to carry along and read little bits as you go. Okay. So I shuffled before we started and I shuffled just now. I'm going to ask you to tell me when to stop and then I'll read the card. I'll go.
Stop.
Okay. Flow. So this is a good one. There's an, not that I, because I wrote it, this is a good one for what we were speaking about. Sorry. I need to finish that thought. Otherwise I sound like I'm promoting myself. There is a natural flow in your life, like water in a stream. How do you create flow? Describe how it feels. How does it feel when you're not in flow?
Ooh. Wow. To me, if I'm not in flow, I feel chaotic inside. Yeah, I do think I have adult ADD. I was diagnosed with it, so I guess I should believe that. And so if I'm not in flow, I'm kind of all over the place.
Jumbled. Yeah. Busy.
Yeah. And so grounding myself with a good book, with meditation, walking outside barefoot puts me right back in flow, or taking a nap. Sometimes I take a nap to get myself back in flow. That is very cool. I love that. And I really do think police wives, first responders need to find their flow for sure.
And you know what? I'll share a tip. I usually don't give energy tips on the show. I usually just use it with concierge clients, but this is a great one because policemen are around so many people and they're walking into energetic situations that are not like you and I going on a vacation. Okay. We would say they're on a scale of 1 to 10, they're on totally different ends of the scale. And the thing is, being with other people where the energy is frightening, like devastating, somebody is passed, there has been an accident, people are, in shock, etc., can affect our energy, especially for first responders who are within that realm. So we have energy in our hands, both on the front here. Where is my hand? The front and the back. And so you can pat yourself on the head just doing top and bottom. I don't know why. Always my opposite hand goes to my navel. It doesn't have to be there. But to get yourself back to your energy after being in a room full of lots of people, after being at a preschool pickup versus a somebody passed away and you're going to their celebration of life and it's devastatingly sad. Or I do it after going to networking groups, which is where I've met you at, because I am very energy sensitive. And oftentimes I leave with other people's energy, you as well.
Yeah.
So it just using the hand, the palm of your hand on top of your head with, touching your hair, et cetera. Top, front, back, front, back, front, back for as many times as you need. Sometimes for me, it's 3, sometimes it's 20, depending on how I feel. That's a great way for us to just bring back to our flow, our energetic flow. So
I love that. Thank you. I've never heard that. I love that.
I'm full of things that, you know, I think my family would think, like, who needs that information? But no, I love helping people on many different levels. And having been in this business for over 20 years and having lived 55 years of of excitement, let's say, you know, craziness. But I've gotten out of flow when Mark was sick, and spending so much time in the hospital, that just depletes me immediately. Just the smell when I open the door of chemical cleansers. And the fluorescent lights, and then also the scrubs, the color of the scrubs. If you're on the kidney, the liver floor, it's gray. Oh, so depressing, you know? But anyway, I do digress. So, Vicky, it's so lovely to share this time with you. Would love to have you back. We can talk about that at another time. But I see there are so many different things we can talk about that we share in common, and where there is also not overlap, where I can learn things from you, and so can our listeners. So thank you again for giving a voice to what it's like being that police officer's wife, mother of police officer children, and living that lifestyle, because it is a little different. And now we know why not everybody knows everything. But they will soon. So grab your book on Amazon. And thank you again for being with me.
Thank you, Gina. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. So if you are one of those people who are ready to make an impact the same way Vicky has, and you're ready to be seen and heard for the experiences that you've had, and ready to make that impact because you know now is the time, I'm here to help you. Let me know, reach out. You can book an appointment with me at exquisitelyaligned.com/more so we can talk more and find out if we're a good match. If you're listening on Apple, I'd love for you to leave me a quick short review. Remember, I'm a New Yorker. 1 to 3 sentences is more than enough. And if you are on YouTube, love for you to leave me a comment there. Have a great and wonderful day. Till next time, be exquisite.